Liz Grossman.
I'm Rachel Gilman Rischel.
And I'm Molly Each. You're listening to the Between Bites podcast, a nonprofit food-inspired storytelling series. We feature first-person stories from chefs, restaurateurs, writers, and others in the food and drink industry. Episodes are recorded live in Chicago bars and restaurants. We hope you enjoy.
Our final reader of the night is an iconic Chicago media personality who only recently has shed her cloak of anonymity. She has worked for Chicago Magazine for more than 3 decades, meticulously covering the dining beat with an enviable roster of sources, a sixth sense for scoops, and an ear for alliteration. I had the good fortune of meeting her about 7 years ago and forging a truly lovely friendship, but I always needed to refer to her as Susan in public. Please welcome the one and only Penny Pollock.
Hello. As usual, I'm the oldest person in the restaurant. But I got to choose my own table, so I'm not in the old person section tonight. And that's partly how I know for all these many years, not very many people in the restaurant world know who I am, or they'd never treat me the way they do. So I realize everyone here did a reading. And when Rachel asked me if I would come to the event now that I'm just Penny Pollock, I said sure. And then later I found out that I was expected to write and read something. And I said, no. That's really not going to happen. So what am I good at? I'm good at interviewing people, which I've interviewed quite a few people in this room over the years. And I know their voices and they know my voices. And I think I'm good at drawing them out. And that's how we get such good stories. So I thought I'd interview myself. So, Penny, how did you get started? Well, I needed a job. I was in my 20s. I was divorced, I had 2 children, and I had never finished college. And I decided I was going to start a catering business. And after I catered dinners for all of my friends, nothing else happened. So then I got a job in a high school. I was a secretary. Then I went to take classes at a junior college so that I could be an assistant in an accounting office or some such thing. I lead a very charmed life and I met a very wonderful man and we have been married for 40 years. Thank you. And we had all these children that we put together, so we had to keep working. So I'll skip some of the silly details, but I ended up starting with Chicago Magazine as a keyliner. Does anyone in the room know what that is? Yay! I once forgot to turn the wax on. So that's how magazines and various print used to be put together. You'd have these long scrolls of type, and then you'd get the way the art department wanted the page to look, and then you would cut and paste it onto a board, blah, 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 blah. And if you cut something or made a mistake, it was not pretty because someone had to reset the type all over again in the morning. That was my entry to Chicago Magazine. From there, I became the assistant in the dining department, and one day I was there by myself. And my editor, Dick Babcock, said, well, what can you do? I said, I don't know. I just always made all the phone calls and checked all the details and talked to all the people and made all the copy fit and kept track of everything that opened and closed. And he said, well, what did your boss do? I said, well, everything else. And he said, well, what else was there? So he rolled the dice with me, and within a few months, he asked me if I would take the position. And that was in the early 90s. So, Penny, what's your unfavorite question when people, you know, oh, you're the dining editor? I hate when people ask me what my favorite restaurant is. So please, everyone, I'm happy to stick around and chat, but don't ask me what my favorite restaurant is. And what do you do all day? Well, what is it like to be a dining editor? Well, I make a lot of phone calls and talk to a lot of people and do a lot of bookkeeping and read a lot of notes and fight with copy editors and look at pictures and then we go out to dinner. And how has that changed over the years? Not. But the whole subject of anonymity has changed. And when I first entered the world of Chicago Magazine and was privileged to work with people who had titles that I now have, I was like the extra mouth at the table. And it was long before small plates, and it was long before cell phones and Instagram and being able to take a photo with your watch or your Dick Tracy ring. And we would order, there were usually four people, and we would get the rules. Everyone had to order something different. Everyone had to order every course. And when no one in the dining room was watching, we all had to switch plates. And looking back on it, what a joke. The waiter or waitress has meticulously taken your order and probably put a number after each item so that he or she knows who gets what dish and has delivered it that way and then comes back and you're innocently eating the lobster instead of the ribeye. And we just were certain that we got away with it. I was low man on the totem pole, so I would watch. I'd watch the room. I'd say, okay, everybody switch. We'd all switch our plates, and that just went on all evening. Small plates are the best thing that ever happened to a dining critic. Everybody eats everybody's food with abandon. You don't just pass plates, you grab them, you stab other people's food with your fork. Everyone's taking pictures, everyone's Instagramming and Twittering, and is that what it's called? And so now I'm just one of the crowd. I want to say about 10 years ago, before some of the much more famous critics than I, like Adam Platt of New York Magazine. No, everyone was anonymous. That was the deal, that was the ritual, that was the protocol. Even if you suspected that the people at the restaurant maybe knew you, we all played along. And about 10 years ago, I went to my editor, Dick Babcock, who was my editor for 20 years. I said, you know, I don't know if we need to be anonymous anymore. And he was a very measured, reasonable guy with a legal background. And he said, well, why not? I said, because I just kind of think it's getting silly, and I think some people know who I am, and what's the point? We talked, and he said, okay, let me think about it. And 2 days later, he called me in his office, and he said, I think you're right. I said, I don't want to do it.
I have to stay anonymous.
Why? Because once you're out, and then if you think you made a mistake, you can never take it back, you're out. So it went on and on and on and on, and Adam Platt came out in 2013, and Jonathan Gold came out in 2015, and I'm still running around with all these credit cards and other names, and having all my friends make reservations for me, and having my friends call me Susan. Except for that one night, Rachel. Rachel was in the lobby of the Tribune Tower with Brendan Sadikoff. And I often work late. I was there to do a radio show, right? And I come out into the lobby, and Rachel goes, Patty! And then she sort of melts like the Wicked Witch in and that movie we all know. And so I met Brendan Sadikoff. And he met me. And one evening I was at RPM Steak when it first opened. And I've talked to Rich Melman on the phone 1,000 times over the years. He's a very, very nice man, as are most people in the restaurant world, by the way. I really enjoy talking to each and every one of them. So Ridge is patrolling the room. He's always there when there's a new restaurant. I know who he is, and he's just doing his thing, and I'm getting a kick out of it. And someone else in the room knew me and wanted to score points. And just as Ridge was walking by the table, she said, oh, Rich, did you see Penny Pollock is here tonight? And there was evil in my heart. And he kind of stopped, and our eyes locked, and then he kept walking. And after dinner, he came by, and he sat down, and we had a lovely, lovely conversation. And he said, you know, I was going to go tell them in the kitchen that you were here, but you know what? They're either going to do it right or they're not. That's their job. So I started to keep a list of everyone who, for one reason or another, I met, either because Rachel outed me.
It was an accident.
Or Dan Rosenthal sat next to me at a bar mitzvah. You know, oh, wouldn't it be fun because you're both in the restaurant business, blah, blah, blah. And after, lo, these many years of thinking about it on and off, it happened all very easily and quickly and naturally. And Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and Yelp and blogging and all these things, I've done a really good job of keeping anonymous, but it's not fun anymore, and it seems sort of passé. And even though I'm going to be 70 years old on January 3rd, I'm not passé.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about us at between-bites.com and follow us on social media as Between Bites.